Today, one of our three delegates to GA is Mia Garner-Moore. Take it away, Mia.
Thank you, Beth. Good morning, everyone. I have had the pleasure of participating in three General Assemblies, or as we call it, GA for short, of the Unitarian Universalist Association. Each one was a uniquely different and inspiring experience for me. I traveled to Phoenix, Arizona for my first one. Since I stayed in a hotel overnight, I was able to totally immerse myself in the GA experience. My fondest memories include meeting up with our folks from Unitarian Church of Sharon for lunch and each of us sharing about the workshops that we had attended that morning. One evening, we all went to a nearby park and listened to an outdoor concert performed by Emma's Revolution. But my most profound memory from that GA was participating in the protest outside of Sheriff Arpaio's prison, where undocumented immigrant detainees were being forced to live in outdoor tents on 100 plus degree days. Standing united for justice with hundreds of UUs and how these immigrants were being treated stirred my soul. Listening to UU leaders and singing UU hymns together by flashlight had a powerfully inspiring impact on me to do more for social justice. My second GA experience was in Providence, Rhode Island, where I was able to take the commuter rail train back and forth from home. Because we were so close to home, I knew more people at this GA. Between events, I was able to connect with folks from our church, from UU Mass Action, from other local UU churches, and some of our former Sharon ministers. I felt the spirit of camaraderie with our local UU churches. What was extra special to me about this GA were the huge worship services held in the Verizon Auditorium. We heard powerfully stirring messages, especially from our youth leaders. And the music was wonderful. Hearing thousands of UU voices singing together moved me to tears multiple times. This year's GA, because of COVID-19, was held entirely virtually. I was able to sit on my sofa at home and participate in inspiring worship services and long business meetings. There were a few technical glitches, but frankly, I was amazed at how well everything ran, especially how fast UUA had to switch to this format. Most of the worship services were pre-recorded. Workshop sessions were recorded, so if you couldn't attend at that time, you could listen to it later. And the business meeting offered breakout sessions, and we could vote remotely. Even though I was sitting in my home participating in this GA, I felt engaged, and the music and messages still moved me to tears. What I really loved about participating in these General Assemblies was being engaged with UU members from all over the United States and experiencing the richness of our diversity. Whether we be young, old, middle-aged, straight, LGBTQ+, of many, many races and ethnicities, theists, humanists, atheists, we all come together once a year to celebrate being UUs. This year's GA was held in the midst of the racial justice protests occurring across our country. Therefore, throughout the GA, there was a heightened sensitivity about our racial diversity and inclusivity. During the business meetings, we took action on changing the language and policies that gave more emphasis on UUA's position towards racial equity. I saw business leaders struggle at times with using the proper inclusive language. I saw others hold them accountable. Part of doing good racial justice work is experiencing that discomfort. That discomfort was tangible at times during meeting sessions, but we made progress through it. And there clearly was a commitment to continue to do better. Additionally, this year's GA was intentional about utilizing the diversity of our UU ministers and worship services. The opening worship service was led by Native Americans, It incorporated Native American music, and the social justice theme focused on the land rights of our local tribes. Further, the message of the Sunday morning worship service were delivered by a trans Black minister and a minister who was the daughter of Korean immigrants. Top that off with the diversity of the GA choir, just as you witnessed, each person singing from their own home, but united in harmony on the computer screen. Wow, what an inspiring and special experience. Thank you.
Delegate to GA was Gare Reed, and I believe he is still out of range in New Hampshire, so he gave his report to Christian to read. Christian?
Good morning. So imagine, if you will, that this is Gare's voice speaking to you. The Onion That Is GA, Reflections on General Assembly 2020 by Gare Reed. I was pleased to be able to attend the General Assembly of the UUA this past June, and it was quite a rewarding experience, one that I would like to share with you this morning by way of exploring some of the layers of what I encountered. And a hearty thank you to Christian for reading my thoughts, as I am unable to be on screen with you today. You might liken the journey to a climb to the top of a mountain for spectacular and inspiring views, or perhaps a trip down a rabbit hole, chasing exotic UU insights and esoterica. But I choose to think of it as an exploration of an onion, many-layered, revealing its secrets and joys as one peels back the nourishing skins, sometimes catching a whiff of a powerful emotion that rolls over you unexpectedly, sometimes leaving you joyfully uplifted, sometimes with an emotional tear, sometimes all three combined. Come along for a quick tour of the onion that is GA. I have attended other GAs in person and found it quite engaging to be with thousands, yes, thousands of other UUs in the main hall, or in small workshops or hallways, exploring together what it is to be a member of our faith. This time, we had to step down a layer into the realm of virtual gatherings, and the experience of 3.5 days of ZCBS, the dreaded Zoom chair butt syndrome, was not the highlight of what we accomplished, but it was well worth the time and effort. The GA choir sounds better in person, as do workshops, lectures, private conversations, meals, and wandering in the exhibition hall to learn about all the aspects of the world of UU. But online was a better experience than I had anticipated. It really did work for me. One of the great opportunities of GA is to attend workshops on any of dozens of topics offered by insightful presenters who can take you on an exploration into areas that you may think you already know a bit about, or that you have desperately wanted to learn more about, but have not known where to begin. There was no collective, on-site, hands-on social justice service project this year, which has been a feature of past GAs, so that layer was missing from my bucket list. But the GA program book is a smorgasbord of adventures, and the hardest part is trying to figure out what sessions to attend and which ones to have to pass on, always knowing that they will be available in the online library for later viewing. On Friday morning, I chose number 304, spending an hour and a half with Chris Crass and over 600 other curious UUs as we examined having anti-racist conversations and inviting into action, a social justice calling if ever there was one. I dropped down a layer into the fray and was not disappointed. Chris gave an inspiring presentation, a call to effective action in a sacred space where the flame of the chalice was used to burn down white supremacy and to ignite our passion for social justice as we sought to explore and understand how to try our best to live our UU values on the pathway to a truly beloved community. His arguments and examples were strong and instructive, and I took copious notes. The mission was to learn how to engage other white folks in the process of confronting our collective white supremacy in the current crucible of cultural upheaval happening across the country and around the world. It was a call to action from the heart, so that we can each learn about our own needs and shortcomings while being most effective in listening to and bringing along those in our circles who ought to be a part of the desperately needed change. Pretty good stuff, right? Then we went down another layer. As part of the workshop, even with 600 plus souls Zooming together, we were able to explore personal stories and reflections. Many wise words were spoken, some that gave me pause, some that I agreed with, and some that I would have challenged if I had been able to lean in and ask questions for clarity. And more notes were taken. Pretty good stuff, right? Then came another layer. The challenge given was to share from the heart how you might build a nourishing space to engage others on this journey. Jill, a DRE, of course, from the Community Church of New York, gave a succinct view of her 5 steps to meeting others, no matter from whence they came, which might well not be the same space where she herself stands. 1, acknowledging the other's presence. I see you. 2, witnessing the power of the tectonic shift that was happening, what she termed a liquefied moment, when new possibilities become apparent and one's awareness is raised to a new level. 3, greeting with compassion this opportunity for sharing. 4, nurturing the slow awakening in others, which then becomes the point of departure. 5, building on that moment through education, powered with empathy and compassion, an expression of strength to capitalize on the precious space thus created to transcend and engage and not to lose the moment of liquefaction. Then Chris and the entire workshop exploded in resonance with Jill's gift, and it became one of the stirring aha moments of the week for me, and I believe for many others. We dug deeper and continued with further discussion and reflections with an emphasis on the power of deep heart-to-heart expressions of what underlies our passions and motivations for the work of social justice. I was fatigued but uplifted by it all. And the workshop, like an onion finally running low on layers, came to an end. The workshops and the business sessions and the services and the celebrations and the days rolled on with many insights, thoughtful and challenging moments, and joyful episodes layered into the mix. I found the pace exhausting and simultaneously empowering, and I recommend it to anyone who has the time and the inclination to gather with thousands of deep-thinking, outspoken, and quirky UUs for an annual adventure. What did I bring home with me from my virtual trip to Providence this year? Lots of notes and ideas, a need to go back and revisit some densely packed sessions, and to explore others that I had to miss in person. I also got inspired to re-engage in my chosen work at the Unitarian Church of Sharon with a commitment to start some of that good trouble, necessary trouble, that John Lewis held up for all of us to aspire to. Perhaps we will meet somewhere on the tectonic plates of social justice in order to share a liquefying moment together on our journeys, one where a profound shift in our broken culture becomes more likely and real, especially if we can find ways to do the work together. I invite you to take a slice of the onion and see where your nose leads you.
Who was at that Chris Crass workshop and have been to his workshops in the past, and they are wonderful and inspiring always. It was one of my many favorites. Interestingly enough, surprisingly, my other favorites were offered by the UU History and Heritage Society, which was not just about old dead history, it was about living history. The first one I attended was by Dr. Sylvester Johnson on charting a future for inclusive democracy. Very thought-provoking, worth listening to again. I listened to it a second time. History is so present, so relevant, so ongoing. I felt both rooted and inspired by the connections of past and present and what they say about our future. I also was surprised at how intimate it could be to be on a Zoom meeting, because we would break out into breakout groups. And ironically, twice in two of the different breakout groups, I ended up with Louise Marcoux. Maybe it was the M's they put together, I don't know. So that was, and other people from all over the country and sharing, it was wonderful. I think the main thing I took away from GA to be my theme is challenge. All the challenges that face us. How we are challenged as individuals, as a congregation, and as a movement, and what we're asked to be ready for. Rooted, inspired, and ready. We got rooted, we got inspired, and then we were told we got to be ready. One part of that change and that challenge is, of course, the challenging times. And those include financial challenges, individually, congregations, and the UUA. They're worried. They're locked out of their building, too. They're struggling with finances, with contributions, trying to do much with little and remotely. And they're worried about it, the leadership is, with good reason. And we are worried, too. And another change that a challenge was to look at how we do things and to change them. This report was delivered. It's called Widening the Circle of Concern, the report of the UUA Commission on Institutional Change. And there's a copy, one copy. The church got one copy, but I think it'll be online. I ordered a copy, and I hope we'll have some discussions of the many things that it brings up. Much of it focuses on the institutional level, the credentialing and training of religious professionals and so forth. But a lot of it also applies to congregations and our responsibility to reflect on how we've done things in ways that may have limited us, may have cut off and hurt people of color and others who don't really fit into our too limitingly white, middle-class, head-based culture. As we learned about in our little workshop, our trans workshop, about the iceberg below the surface, of all the ways in which our culture can be limiting and can be exclusionary and cannot be as open as it needs to be in these times in order to reach everyone who needs us. Another challenge is seizing this time of possibility. Yes, challenge is a burden, challenge is a threat, challenge is difficult, but also it is opportunity. Naomi Klein's Ware Lecture set forth a vision of great possibility. She drew the analogy to the Great Depression and said that in times of trouble and crisis, these are liminal, threshold moments, perhaps liquefied moments, as Gare quoted in his talk. When the invisible cracks in our national foundations, at least invisible to those with privilege to ignore them, have become all too visible, when awakenings are happening, when people have been shaken out of their complacency and their comfort and are really ready to consider living with more justice, equity, and compassion, and ready to really consider seeing themselves as part of a network of mutuality, in King's phrase, an interdependent web of existence, in the words of our principles. So we can really challenge what's been too easily accepted or ignored and move forward into a culture that's of more humane values, justice, equity, and compassion. Now, there were some critical things said about a lot of congregations in this report, and I think ours is doing okay. We are working on it. And I think that's one reason we are not, unlike a lot of UU congregations, shrinking and fading and having trouble. But there's always more to be done. We've started on this path, and as UUA President Susan Frederick Gray has often said, this is no time for a casual faith. This is a time to be truly engaged. I'd like to end with the words of Dr. Natalie Fenimore, who is one of our incredible Black elders and leaders and a member of the Commission on Institutional Change. And she opened the session, the report, with these words. It's a prayer. Spirit of life, God of many names and one abiding love, love which calls us to cries for justice, to move our bodies and actions, to move our faith toward transformation. Let us not stand aside in this moment. This moment is not the only moment. It is not the final moment. But today is our moment. Today is ours. We pray that we are brave enough and thankful enough to answer the call of this moment, the call to love and justice in the midst of pandemic, of fear, in the midst of hurt and grief over the killing of Black people. In this moment, our moment, may we be brave enough, may we be faithful enough to do what only we can do, which only we together can accomplish. Add your voice, she challenged us. Add your thoughts, add your hearts to the list of those who have marched forward, to those who refuse to die. So may it be. Amen.